Saturday morning on the Krug Show, reunited with John Chapman after a week off. We got a lot to get to. Let's get to it. Off and running on a Saturday, one of the great days to stream in the week is Saturday for sure. And we're off and running on the Krug Show, and we got John Chapman with us. We're brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig in a Pickle. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. And they do run out. So get there early, get some brisket chili. Also, the Krug Show is presented by Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks is super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or game outcomes, build your lineup. It's available in most states, including this one, California. So if you haven't checked it out, use code HMA. When you play $5, you get $50 in lineups instantly. We will do a lineup briefly before we get out of here. But it's good to see John Chapman. John, get back with us. How are you?
Man, doing well. Yeah, I had to take a little break, family, some stuff, and some travel. And so back, excited to be back because the 49ers reported it. Dude, I have to start off with a hat tip to my man Larry. Dude, you crushed those rookie interviews, just bringing out the best of those players. Every time I heard you ask a question, and then you just freaking knocked it out of the ballpark. So from the faithful to you, man, I just want to say thank you, man. A-plus job.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And Oh, ooh. Look at that. Kev added the chime to the repertoire, and every now and then I just got to bust it out. We haven't talked since the draft, and this was, you know, people say, do you get, you know, sometimes people say to me, Krug, you're so into the draft. Is draft like Christmas Day to you? And I'm like, well, no. Christmas Day is yesterday, is rookie minicamp. When you drafted your rookies and now you get a chance to see them in your uniform, in your colors, practicing with your coaches. And so I thought we could start there because I was there yesterday and, you know, I looked at my schedule and I'm filling in on CAMBR and then I'm like, wait a second, rookie minicamp. And I'm like, I can't miss rookie minicamp practice. So I asked the people over at CAMBR, I go, I know I'm filling in between 10 and 2, but is it possible that, you know, from 11:45 to 12:45, I can go watch practice for an hour? And, you know, I got to credit the people over at CAMBR because they're like, hey, yeah, you know, you're our Niner guy. We want you, we want you there watching it. So you have something to say to us. So they were cool about it. So it was incredible. So thank you, Mike Holler. Thank you, Greg Silver. And so I was out at practice yesterday watching everybody. And we'll start with the guy that we'll start with Deshaun Stribling, because Stribling, you know, is the guy that everybody cares about. And on one hand, he's strong, he's big bodied, he looks great, he says a lot of the right things. But I also kind of thought he didn't look that great when it came to the drills and just in and out of the breaks. And the word on him is that he doesn't have a lot of refinement in his short and intermediate route running. And then when I watched him go through the drills, it's like, okay, you know, he was doing them and he was doing them the way you want to see them done, except slower. And that kind of, you know, it's funny because like somebody else has got a stream up today going 49ers, you know, Deshaun Stribling impresses at minicamp. Okay. That's the talk, you know, and he was impressive, I guess, but he was physically big. And he definitely looks, you know, athletic and fast. But as far as the stop and start and all that, it was a little deliberate. That's all I would say. A little deliberate. It wasn't exactly as explosive as I wanted to see. I want to see if I could show it to you. Lombardi put out a video of him, and maybe doesn't look too bad. Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. He just didn't look as fast as I've seen this drill look, where these guys are just, you know, this is just a warm-up drill more than anything. It's just stop and start. You can see him. I mean, big, long guy, 6'2", but slow. These are slow into and out of these breaks. I don't know. It's the first day. I don't want to overreact, but he didn't look super. Like, I saw Antonio Williams doing some of these drills before the draft, and he was explosive in these cuts. And that's what makes Antonio Williams Antonio Williams. He, I forget where he went, but he played at Clemson. And he's a small, much smaller receiver than Stribling. What do you see here, Johnny? Do you see what I'm saying as far as, like, it's like, this is not, this doesn't look full speed to me. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is the box three corners drill, that, you know, middle schoolers run this concept, whatever. And so, like, this is not where Stribling's going to shine. This is a Ricky Pearsall drill.
Right.
This is, you know what I mean? Like those smaller guys. Now, when you're coaching this, which I've coached receivers, here's what you're teaching, especially early on. You want to hear, and you'll watch him whenever he goes into each one of these breaks. You want full cleats. You want to stomp the ground. I can hear if you're doing this drill correctly or not. It's not so much about speed and all that stuff. We're working fundamentals, seeking hips, cleats in the ground, padding the ground. That's what you want to hear. Like, it's one of those odd, like, you can hear if you're doing it right whenever you're coaching out there. Like, pop, 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 pop. You want to hear it. It's almost like a track drill. But this is not where Stribling is going to. He's 6'3", you know what I mean? 200+. So no pads on, all that kind of stuff. And you tell me if I'm wrong here, but like, it seemed like with a lot of the high end draft picks, the 49ers, the past couple of years of rookie minicamp has basically said, like, look, this is a walk through the motions day. Your time is coming. We're going to, you know, he didn't even get a lot of the first team reps and all that kind of stuff. It's just watch and learn. So yeah, this isn't where he's going to shine. I don't think at any point in his career we're going to look up and say, man, Deshaun Stribling's box drill is off the charts. It's just not going to be there. When the pads come on and the physicality comes out and the catch radius and the 4.3 speed on the top, like, again, his breaks aren't going to be great, and they never were. Even at Oklahoma State, where I would argue he did the most intermediate routes of his, you know, college journey, whether Washington State, Oklahoma State, and then Ole Miss, it was at, you know, Oklahoma State where he did most of that mid-tier work. And still, I don't think that's ever really going to be a major strength to his game personally.
Yeah, I mean, if you're watching this going, go, Krug's panning Stribling. No. I like Stribling. He runs in the 4.3s. He's got 10-inch hands. He's got the ability to take the top off the defense, and he's a willing blocker. So I think there's lots of traits that are great there. But I just will caution Niner fans, 57% of his routes in 2025 at Ole Miss were hitches or goes.
And so, if you watch Jordan Watkins, it was the same damn thing. Like, that's just that Lane Kiffin, you know, Baylor style. Like, I don't know how you're an Ole Miss fan with that offense, but I bless you, Larry. You're better than me. But like, that's taken over college football, you know, the Art Briles tree and the hybrid air raid, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's why one of the things that is a positive of the NIL experience, whatever you want to say, is, man, there is tape of him in different styles. And yeah, they hit you to death at Ole Miss. I mean, just, it's a thing. But you've seen him do more elsewhere. Even though I would call Oklahoma State a pro-style offense by any stretch, and there's still traces of Mike Leach up in Washington State. So, like, none of those are true pro-style offenses like what he's going through now. But, man, there's just so much quality tape and experience on him that it's one of those things. You even heard him in the press conference. You were there. Yeah. Like, his head's on right, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, he's very serious, right. Very serious kid. He's laid back, but he works out hard. His dad was a Marine. And he's tall. He's got big hands. He can run, you know. But once again, you know, you know, 57% of the route frequency were hitches or goes, partially because, as you said, that's what they do at Ole Miss. But also, like, if you look at his highlight reel, there's not a lot of, like, you know, intermediate or underneath, like, double moves or route refinement, or, you know, where he's really tying you into a pretzel and it's like a really tough cover underneath. It's much more like, look at the rack on this guy. Look at the run after the catch. Look at the speed with the ball in his hands. Look at his ability. Even the biggest play that he made of the season was that last play against Georgia. It was a 3rd and 3. They were on their own 28, and he was lined up inside, and he basically just gave his guy a little shimmy and go. And Chambliss put it out there. But if you look at the – and it was one of the biggest plays of the game because it got them into field goal range. They kicked the field goal. They beat Georgia, and they knocked them off. You know, but it was – the refinement on that was just a simple go. Now, but if you looked at it, he separated by about 3.5 yards, you know, down the field. So he was wide open on a simple route. So once he does become a little bit more refined in his route running, I think he's going to be good. The guy that really stood out to me, and that I started with Stribling, but the guy who really stood out the most to me was Romello Height. And Romello Height, John, oh my God. I mean, I couldn't, I mean, he just looked so phenomenal. Now, is he thin? Yeah, but he's not weak. He's pretty, you know, this guy doesn't have an ounce of any bad weight on him at all. I mean, he really looks good. And you know, he's a rookie, obviously. They mostly rookies, but there were some older players there too. But I mean, he really was leading the D line, you know, drills, the quickness, the first step is off the charts. You really don't get a feel for it unless you're standing right next to him. I mean, he just looked amazing. I mean, he, you know, there was a couple, you know, I listened to Chris and generally during camp, they rock the music out so freaking loud, and they do it so that you can't hear the coaches coaching the players, but they didn't have it really at the rookie minicamp. So we could hear Chris, and Chris was, you know, he dropped more than a few dams on Romello Height, and they were the good dams. They were the kind of, you know, that was like, damn, you know, that was a hell of a get off. And you can tell that, you know, just from talking to Romello, what we suspected, right? That Chris is a, you know, went to Texas Tech, big Texas Tech guy, watches Texas Tech, probably only watches 2 games a week, the Niners and Texas Tech. And he had a relationship with this kid. So I love this pick because there's almost zero, I'll give it like a 0.0% chance that Chris doesn't know what he's watching. You know what I mean? Chris watches D-line. He's a D-line coach, and he watched a very good D-line in college and watched this kid do his thing. And, you know, it was one practice. But, man, the bend, the burst, the motor, the dedication to the craft, all the things you want to see, like, this guy looks like a player. I mean, he's not just athletic. It's like, he was leading the drills, and the other guys were kind of dapping him up after each one of his reps. That's how impressive he was.
My first job coaching was scouting. And so, like, I, you know, they'd send me with my template, and I'd go watch, you know, teams a couple weeks out. This is down in Texas. And, you know, I'd fill out all this stuff. And then I was training the other coaches to go on scouting. And I had a coach ask me one time, he's like, don't we get the film? Like, why do we have to go? Like, if we have the film, why don't we just watch the film? And I was like, it's different when you're there. It's different when you're in person. It just comes to fruition clearer. That's what this is. And probably one of my favorite things about Romello Height is he is falling into the exact same place he was at Texas Tech. Arguably the best defensive line in the country at Tech. Obviously, David Bailey went, you know, second overall, Onyemata. The entire defensive line was drafted. But whenever you watch 2025 Texas Tech tape, you could pause the tape after 2 seconds or a second and a half. He is a full yard to yard and a half ahead of David Bailey every single time. He's not better than David Bailey, but in the area of burst, get off, get up the field, GTFO, whatever you want to call it, damn metric, he's got it in spades. And whenever the 49ers defensive end room, it's not a bad room. They just didn't have this. You've got 4 defensive linemen that are quality defensive ends. Nick Bosa, obviously, he could do pretty much everything you want. Mikael Williams, Keon White, solid. And even Sam O, who they really, really like. But all of those are kind of your big buck style ends that are run stuffers. You don't have the elite speed get off guy. And so just to allow him to come in and just be, hey, you're just our closer. You don't have to pitch 9 innings. You're not doing complete games. You don't have to worry about pin pull and all this kind of whatever. No. You go out there and you just get after the quarterback and will develop into something else eventually down the road. Like the fact that he just gets to come in and play what he does best, which is jump up field. And Larry, we've had a lot of 94s. I love seeing that damn number. I'm a big numbers guy.
I'm too.
We they all haven't been great, but man, seeing 94 is just like, whew. So, some things, 53, same thing. I'm going to go with the linebacker class. Like, Duggar, come on, man. You got 53 on. Hey, my man Bowman, come on now. You got to represent now. But, man, I'm excited about Romello Height. He was one of my favorite, like, fits for the 49ers. And the fact that they were able to trade back and still get him. A lot of people upset. We might talk a little bit about the draft class in a whole, in like its entirety and the reaches and whatever. I don't care how they get into that. There are fits and needs at premium positions that the Niners got throughout this draft. And I'm excited about this. In the whole time the draft was going on, I was like, dude, Larry's going to love this draft class. Larry's going to love it. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order.
Well, I love Kalon Black. I mean, because we talked about him quite a bit. You know, it's funny, the Romello Height anecdote I'll share with you. So a buddy of mine scouts for an AFC team. And so he's got a bunch of, I check in with him a couple times a month in the throughout football season. He called me the other day and he's like, dude, the Steelers wanted Romello Height in the worst way. And I said, really? He so fits kind of what they do, right? He's just, you know, They're a 3-4 team, and they love the incredible rush, bendy rusher, you know, who can play in their scheme as a 3-4 guy. But it's funny because he's not great dropping into coverage. That was the downside. But he's like, my buddy, he has a buddy who scouts for the Steelers, and he's like, he's pretty low on the poll, but he was in that region this year and saw Romello and wrote some reports on Romello. He said when the Niners guy told him that when the Niners took Romello, that he went into the bathroom and broke the mirror. So I don't know. I don't know for sure. I can't verify one way or another, but this is a friend of a friend saying that a Steelers scout was absolutely determined to get him and broke a mirror when Romello went to the Niners.
He's the perfect fit for them. He is that mold. And I'm not saying he's TJ Watt. He's more Nate Herbig. But, like, yeah, he's that guy that teams covet now. And whenever you have Philly going out and getting all these guys, and you have the Steelers going out and getting all these guys, like, it is, and you can throw the Seahawks and the Rams in there. Like, this is – that mold. And the comp the entire time that I've been using is Byron Young for the Rams. Well, guess who the defensive coordinator for Byron Young was whenever he was a rookie? Yeah, it's Raheem Morris. So you get this prototypical speed edge rusher hybrid player with somebody that knows how to use them. Jaylon Walker last year, same thing. Now, he's not Jaylon Walker, but, man, you get to use him in that kind of same similar way, and he had a lot of success there last year. So it's just one of those perfect puzzle pieces that just talent, value in the draft, scheme fit, plug and play. You didn't have it on your roster with the defensive coordinator. It's just check, 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 check. So you're really hoping this one pans out.
All right, so I froze the film right here for a sec because – a lot of times people, they don't know sometimes what they're seeing. Now, some people want the football practice looks like it's all random. Like, okay, you two guys get in here. You two guys get in. You guys are next. But there's an order to it, right? There's an order to this. And the order is not just anything. It's the best guys go first, right? So if the last year when the Niner receivers were doing drills, the front of the line was Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, right? Because they're the top receivers. When the Niners corners do drills, it's Demo Lenore, Renardo Green. And if there's a third, it's Upton Stout. The ones, so to speak. Okay, well, in the rookie minicamp, you would think, they're all kind of just rookies. There is no order. But there is an order. And I bring this up because Romello Height is the best guy here, and that's why he's going first in this drill. Okay. Oh, but who's this other guy? You say, well, who's the other guy? This right here is James Thompson. And Johnny, this guy looked phenomenal. Now, I don't know if he looked phenomenal in this rep, but there were several reps where Chris Kocurek was like really impressed. This guy had 36 reps at 225. He's enormously strong. They paid him almost $300,000 and they guaranteed it. So to sign him.
6'6", 305. What the hell is that about?
Big dude who had 36 reps and he also showed great quickness. 75, I think. Yeah, 75. You know, that drill is not this is not the drill where he's showing great quickness or strength. Because
no, he's a lateral quickness guy. He's not a burst guy.
That second group, by the way, that's this right here is Grayson Halton. So he went behind him, even though he's in front of him. And then you've got the end here. I think this kid's from Michigan. And then if you look, keep going here, we'll let those guys go. Then you've got this next group, which includes Mikhail Kamara, and that's Bryson Eason.
I like Bryce. We don't have him on our roster. We don't have that stout plugger. He's a lot thicker and shorter than guys we got. Like, we don't have that build. We got a lot of, 6'1", 280 guys. We don't have a lot of 6'2", 330 guys, 325 guys. So I think that there's pathways for those undrafted free agents. But this roster, Larry, is a hell of a lot better than it was last year depth-wise. It's not even comparable. It's going to be hard to make this roster.
No doubt. It's going to be hard at a lot of spots. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's bust out the depth chart. Here's the Niner depth chart, and we'll share the screen on this. People can take a look. I agree with you. It's going to be very competitive. Just right on down the line. Okay. Supposedly, according to Matt Barrow's account of yesterday, he said that he felt like, or that I guess it was Kubiak. Kubiak came out and said, hey, you know what? Curtis Rourke is looking good. So what do you think of Curtis Rourke? I mean, that right there, I think, is going to be very interesting to see if Curtis Rourke can make this team. I mean, he was in this camp because he didn't play last year. And, there's a lot of talk about, their affinity for Rourke. Kubiak said that Rourke is eligible to play quarterback in the rookie minicamp, and that he's – he basically said that Rourke, let's see the quote. I love the arm talent. He's a heck of a thrower. This is Kubiak. He's big. He's strong. He can spin it. He can step in there and make every throw on the field. We have high hopes for him. We're excited for him as a player. So he's going to compete with Martinez for that number three spot. But is there, Johnny, is there going to be a number three spot?
I think they want one. I mean, you don't use the seventh round pick. You don't, you know, put them on the NFI list, have them stick around for a year, all that. Like, because you got to look at the room. And Shanahan and Lynch talk about this all the time. Well, when we make these picks, is this somebody that can beat somebody out on our roster? And or can they help us in the future? This is Mac Jones last year with the Niners. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Like, this is it. So what's your plan for quarterback two in the future? This is a low-cost metric to allow the Canadian Rocket to stick around and shoot. The third quarterback rule is the Shanahan rule. He does it more than anybody. So I do think that there is a place for him. I wouldn't even be shocked, and I hate to put this out there, but the Shanahan-specific type injury that gets created to allow him to stay on the roster, even though perhaps nobody saw said injury, sometimes you get a little creative. And I think that he's going to be around. But like I said, this is a deep roster. So if you keep three quarterbacks, are you turning one of the linebackers loose? Are you turning one of the wide receivers loose? Would you rather keep Curtis Rourke or Jacob Cowie? Would you rather keep Curtis Rourke or, shoot, I don't know, Jalen Duggar? Because these are the decisions that are going to have to be made. I think it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard.
I don't show a lot of still pictures here, but I'm gonna move that off the screen for a second. But one of the things that you stood out yesterday, and you see it in this film, but it really stood out yesterday on the practice field, is the leg strength of Kalon Black is off the charts. This guy squats 700 or squats 500 pounds. You know, he benched 415. Those are fat numbers. Here, look at this
for a small back. He's small.
He is.
But here, like, he is. Look at the power in the weight room. That's for damn sure.
Look at the power. I mean, those are Larry Krueger like thoughts. Ah. That guy could squat right next to me. I mean, he's. But look at those things. When you watch this guy in the Senior Bowl on those carries where he's moving the pile and carrying the pile, you know, you know right there, oh, enormous leg strength. You can just see it, enormous leg strength. It's the same kind of enormous leg strength that you see off Jalen Hurts. You know, why is Jalen Hurts so damn good on the tush push? It's because he's got enormous leg strength. Why is Kalon Black, you know, a powerful runner that you know, it hurts to tackle him because he's got enormous leg strength. And when you squat 700 or squat 500 pounds, you're dedicated in the weight room. So, I mean, this to me, I mean, we could show some film, but that look at the power in this guy's legs. And you saw it yesterday. I mean, I think that, what did you think of that pick, by the way?
Well,
I think I saw it live. I think you were.
Yeah. I didn't like it at all, but just the positional value. Like, I thought the running back class was terrible. And so, like, I didn't see using a premium pick there, but you got him in a trade back. You know what I mean? So, like, you got him in one of the two trade backs of Stripling. So it's a bonus pick and it's a fit. And I think where he sold the Niners, he was the only Indiana player to accept his invitation to the Senior Bowl. You remember they played a week before, right, in the national championship. He was one of the better players. And then he goes down to the Senior Bowl. The Niners drafted 6 out of 8 of the players they drafted were in the Senior Bowl, and half of the priority free agents they picked up were Senior Bowl. So if you ever want to play for the 49ers, you got to go to the Senior Bowl. Like, that is, you just have to do it. So the tape is good. It's hard to see him as an eventual Christian McCaffrey replacement. I understand that he looked good on routes on air, and look at that, just on pace, Larry, you freaking stud, you. I think this is a Lombardi clip as well. Shout out to Lombardi. He's working his tail end off out there.
Yeah.
He can do it. You go back to, again, you kind of have to do the same thing with Deshaun Stribling. You don't watch Indiana tape of Kalon Black. You got to go back and watch James Madison tape, he was there with Kurt Cignetti as well, but he was the primary receiving option there. And so you see some of that, but it's mostly flares. You get a couple wheels, nothing really extravagant, but I mean, he's running the quick out here, which the Niners do a lot. His hands aren't bad, but you know,
he's not a big target. He doesn't give you a big target.
That's the thing, is like how strong he is. He's the smallest back out there. Like, people would keep asking, can he play fullback? And I was like, God, no. This dude's maxed out at 210. You cannot add more weight to him. This dude's already squatting 500 pounds and whatever else, you know. So, like, sub 30-inch arms and tidy hands, and he's just small-framed. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but when you're small-framed without the wiggle, that's not his game type. He's as – you remember when they drafted Ty Davis Price and they said he's a big back with little back feet? I feel like Kalen Black is the opposite. He's a small back with big back tendencies. Like, he runs hard and violent.
Heavy. Yeah.
No nonsense. Like, I don't even want to call him a one cut runner, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think that's really the staple that he brings. People just fall off his core strength like that. And I don't know how to quantify. Whenever I watch Kalen Black, I think his number one attribute is just core strength. Like, when contact happens, it doesn't affect him. Now, he's not trucking people out there like, you know, Derrick Henry. That's not what it is. He has deceptive speed with his weird stride. He's an upright runner. Like, he has no stride. He runs like Matt Damon when they try to make Matt Damon look like a badass on, like, the Bourne Identity, but he has, like, no stride. But he moves. Like, he's got decent speed. But he's not a strider. There's just a lot of just, it's kind of weird and unorthodox, but it consistently works. And it worked against the best, you know, and he showed up at the biggest moments. So there's a lot to like. Third round, super, super rich, but you got it in a trade back. Second highest graded back in this class. That's crazy to me. That doesn't mean I'm going to call him Neo, because he's going to be the one to break the trend, and he's going to be the first Shanahan third-round running back to be successful. I like the kid. I'm going to put him behind Jordan James on the depth chart, and I am curious where you think that's going to shake out early on. Do you think – I still see it CMC, Jordan James, Kalen Black, but do you see it differently?
I see Kalen Black being a valuable back. To me, he's the guy that you go to in the fourth quarter – to put the game on ice. You know, he's a better, more powerful version of Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell was that dependable guy. And by the way, I think I wouldn't mind seeing Elijah Mitchell back.
I
think he was cut, and he wouldn't be a bad option for them. But
on the back end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just like a guy who might be able to make the roster. But I like Kalen Black. I think he's going to be, when you know, the Niners have had the hardest time finishing games on offense. And it's like, why? Because they can't, there's no power element to what they do on their line. And there's no power element to what they have at the position. It's like, everything's about speed and elusiveness and receiving ability. And, you know, and their line's about, you know, smaller, faster, athletic guys who excel on the run. And okay, but what happens when it's your 4-minute offense and you're up 10 and you're trying to put the game away? And it's like, you just need two first downs and the game is iced. Well, this guy is going to, you know, run those same Shanahan buck into the line type runs that are giveaways, except this guy's going to push the pile and you're going to get an extra 2 or 3 yards out of it and probably get a first down and probably win the game. So I think Kalen Black is going to be a great finisher. And I think he should be a great goal line back. The Niners are terrible in the Lowe's red zone, and they got to stop being terrible. I mean, first and goal from the 7 is about as exciting as first and goal from the 3 when you're the 49er fan, because you're going to, that extra 4 yards, it opens up Shanahan's playbook and, you know, bag of tricks as far as rub routes and passing options. And now it's like the defense doesn't know what to expect. When they get to first and goal on the 3, it's like, well, are you going to run up the middle with your super light offensive linemen? We're going to stuff them. What, are you going to run to the edges against us? We got, you know, depending on how fast the team is, Seattle was like, no way, you're not doing that. So, I mean, to me, I think Kalen Black is going to get those carries now, and he's going to push the pile and get that first. Or get that touch.
I agree with you on all those points. And part of the reason why I was upset with the pick, it has nothing to do with Kalen Black. It has to do with Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey. Do you honestly think that Shanahan will ever pull CMC from a goal line package on third and three, third and two, third and one on the goal line. Like, I think we all agree you should have some variety there, but dude, he's going to will CMC out there with a hobbled whatever and force feed the hell out of that dude till his career's over, sadly. Like, and I love Shanahan. That's a critique, but like, that's my problem. You spent all these resources on running back, and it's not so much that they haven't panned out. You've had guys. Jordan Mason was awesome, but you just would not allow him on the field if Christian McCaffrey was out there. And I'm not saying you bench Christian McCaffrey, but you find ways to be innovative in your personnel sets. Shit, and that's my thing. Like, that's where I'm like, man, you spent this third round pick. The only way that this guy's going to play is if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. And nobody wants that. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's amazing. But it's just, that's my problem. It's like, what is this? He's 25 years old already as a rookie. So are we just waiting for the two-year contract to end, and then he's going to be a 27-year-old third-year rookie contract guy, and he's got 2 years shelf life, and that's it, and you kind of move on? I question the vision a little bit, but I love the player. I love the attitude. The film is as consistent as you could possibly get in the running back room for this draft class, which I would argue one of the worst running back draft classes I can remember. But I like Kalen Black. I really, really do. And so I hope that's not what's come across, not being negative towards the player, just the decision-making and the value and how they're going to use them. That's my question marks.
By the way, you can bank on our buddy Grant. He also put out a clip of Kalen Black, and here's his clip. And he still needs work.
Yeah. He got tiny arms, man. Not the best pass, but yeah, that's yeah.
That makes me laugh. All right. It is that time where we build our lineup. We will share the screen.
Let's do it.
We will bring Prize Picks into the world here. We'll put Johnny and I in the corner. Nobody puts us in the corner, but
It's where I belong.
We'll put ourselves in the corner, and we'll move this over. Oh, wait a second. Let me just move that up.
I'm always getting in trouble. That's what
here we go. Oh, look at that. All right. So we did our Prize Picks lineup, and I did it off onto the side, so we do it a little faster, but we'll jump into our Prize Picks lineup for today. Prize Picks is America's number one sports picks app. The reason I like it, it's simple. You're just picking more or less on player stats or game outcomes. You build your lineup and you're in. No complicated stuff, just what you think is going to happen in the game. Use code HMA, play $5, get $50 in lineups instantly. The link is in the description. All right, let's get into it. And basically what I've got a three-play $5 power play, three pick power play for $5. It's going to pay 30 if we win it. I got Puka Nacua. I'm going NFL futures. Puka Nacua, I'm saying less than 8 receiving touchdowns. I just think they'll diversify the attack. He's also had some problems. Garrett, I think, is trying to show everybody that he's still the top dog. And I think he gets 15 sacks probably each of the next couple of years. So I like Garrett more than 14. And I'm just going under on JSN just because he had the monster year and they're Super Bowl champions and they brought in Jadarian Price. And, you know, maybe they'll try to underutilize him. There'll be more coverage, more attention to JSN. 1,324.5 receiving yards. I went under. If we go 3 for 3, our $5 turns into $30.
I like
Thank you to Prize Picks. And once again, use code HMA, get $5, or play $5 and get $50 instantly. And thanks to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We really appreciate them. They do a great job. Thank you to Prize Picks. Also, before we get back into it, thank you to our other sponsors, Alamar Marina. Great sponsor, alamarmarina.net. Float while you dine in the Sacramento River. They're at 5999 Garden Highway. Go see my man Brandon. They're open Wednesday through Sunday. Try the shrimp tacos. We're really excited to work with Alamar Marina, and they're a great spot to dine. I buy cars only from Novato Chevrolet. Go see my guy, David Corral, voted best car dealership in California by Carfax. Family owned for over 50 years, friendly staff, huge selection, great financing options, Bay Area's EV headquarters. once again, go see David Corral, and he will take care of you, the great David Corral. And also thank you to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264, or you can connect with him via Instagram, Sharp Corners 831 on the gram. All right, Johnny, Carver Willis and Enrique Cruz, I thought both looked really good yesterday. Now, Carver Willis's body is just, he's not one of those guys that's impressive when you look at him. He's a future center, but there's a personality there. There's a tenaciousness there. He wants to bury you in the dirt. I think he is the long-term center, but I don't think a lot of people have him slated to be the starting left guard. No, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. But I do think he could be the long-term answer at center. Enrique Cruz, I thought, looked incredibly athletic. He is the opposite of Carver Willis. He is impressive to look at. I mean, very, very big and strong and fast and athletic and explosive. And you can see there's potential there, but he's raw, and there's no way he's going to play this year unless he's a blocking tight end and somehow beats out Luke Farrell for that blocking tight end job, which I think is probably going to happen, to be completely honest, because I think the Niners are going to look to carry an extra offensive lineman because they're trying to develop this kid. And my guess is that he'll take Farrell's blocking tight end spot this year. So he gets a roster spot, and then maybe he's the future offensive tackle on the right side. I don't know about left side, but there's a lot of talent there for sure.
Yeah, I think with both these guys, and one, I wish they would do the extra offensive lineman. I think that would be ideal in Shanahan's scheme, but I've never seen him do it. I wish he would, though, especially this year with Kittle probably not going to be ready week one. I'm not going to say what I was about to say. Anyway, I'm going to be positive, Larry. I'm going to be very positive right now.
I saw you guys. You were on draft day when you were streaming. You guys put out your reaction, and you just laughed when they took him.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's the first offensive tackle they've taken in five drafts. They're the only team in the NFL to say that. Like, that's crazy. But these two guys, Carver Willis and Enrique, like, I don't think either one of these are play now options, and that's fine. Like, I love the developmental program, especially whenever you have so many older offensive linemen, established linemen on your team. Like, I love that. Like, just let Enrique Cruz learn because he's not ready. Let Carver Willis learn because he's never played guard ever. And the biggest issue with Carver Willis's tape is pass protection anchor. And so now you're going to move him to guard, which he's never played in the NFL, and ask him to play and compete right away at left guard. Yeah, I think you let him compete, but I cannot see him being better already. That would be badass. That'd be amazing. But like, their play is down the road. Very similar to Kalen Black. Like, you have to see those picks in the same light. Like, these are long-term backup developmental options, and a bad draft that the 49ers saw. Look, these guys could be great fits. They're not there now. Enrique Cruz, not there now. Carver Willis, not there now. Kalen Black maybe is now, but not with the roster of the 49ers. So I did a whole breakdown on Carver Willis yesterday, tape-wise.
What do you think?
You fall in love with what he does in the run game, his attitude, and his character. Like, you saw it. You were in the room. Like,
yeah.
He's a pastor's kid, country boy. Like, he's awesome. He is awesome.
He's a character.
He is, but his pass pro is suspect at best, and that's at tackle. So now you're going to kick him in, and you're hoping that's
what it. Did you see? Because the word that I would use is his body was
waistbender.
His body lean. He just seemed, and then I saw him at tackle lunge towards guys.
He's a waistbender. He's got no knee bend, and he's already tall. He's 6'5". And he's not athletic, right? So, like, you watch him in the run game and you say, hell yeah, this is what the 49ers want and need. Pass pro is a long-term development and play that he's got to learn. And Forster's going to get him there. But this is a little bit of a deviation from the Jake Brendel plan, right? What's Jake Brendel? Can't run block to save his life. Like, he's a get there and just get in the way kind of guy. But pass protection, that's kind of what he excels at. I love your claim that this is the eventual long-term center play. I think that's where he belongs. I really, really do. And he's been, he took snaps at the Senior Bowl, and he's been, you know, he's out there. He said in the, you know, the quarterback center exchange, whatever, and, you know, working on those things. This is a long-term play. So, like, this is for the haters out there. They're going to talk about these two guys being a bust, but, like, this is a wait a couple years and see type of guys. Connor Colby was somebody that played guard his entire career and had unlimited snaps in the same scheme. That's made sense for, man, he could contribute right now. Carver Willis is a long-term adaption play. You got to see, you got to have imagination there, and it's going to take some time. I like Carver Willis. I like that pick. I like the Enrique pick. These are not contribute early picks on this roster personally. And I think that that is just fine. I don't have a problem with the red shirt philosophy in the back end of the draft. And so these are fourth and fifth round picks. That's what they should be. You now have O-line developmental depth, very similar to Curtis Rourke, that you get to bring in and eventually compete for those spots, which I think is a good thing.
I wouldn't be me if I didn't go deep, right? I mean, come on. You know me. I go deep. The Niners.
There he goes hard in the paint, guys.
Yeah, seriously. Let me just throw this one out. The Niners had some guys in for workouts yesterday, and I don't know if they're going to sign any of them. One of them was Mason Plein, who's back with the Niners. One
Larry of my guys. Legend right there. I like Mason Plein.
Yeah, and he's smart. He's a mechanical engineering major. He's athletic. He's now had some time to get used to the NFL, and I'm sure he's going to be, well, I'm not sure of anything. He might be in camp for them this summer. I thought Khalil Dinkins was a great addition, by the way. I don't know what you thought of Dinkins, but the length and the strength and the arms and the blocking ability. I mean, that Khalil Dinkins has the ability to really be a difference maker blocker, like a Jamie Williams type blocker. If you could, for old Niner fans, remember Jamie Williams way, way, way back. But the Niners had some other guys in for workouts yesterday, and one of them was a guy who was one of my favorites from a past draft. And I'm going to share the screen and show you some footage of this kid working out. His name's Casey Osai, and he played at Louisiana, which is the same school that Duggar is coming out of, but he came out of there the year before. Here he is working out for the Texans, and you can see some of the athletic traits here. This is a really athletic kid, and I thought yesterday on the practice field he looked incredibly athletic. He was wearing 47. I'd have to check the charts. But the Niners have always had, now I say always, in the last 5-7 years, you know, they've had just an unbelievable eye for talent at linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. D. Winters, 6th round. That was a 6th round pick. Azeez Al-Shaair was not drafted. He just signed for like $50 million. Dre Greenlaw was a day 3 pick. Fred Warner was a day 2 pick, 3rd round. Their ability to spot athletic linebackers is really good. Even some of their guys that they had that they didn't want anymore, you know, the Jonas Griffiths, the Marcelino McCrary Balls.
Yeah.
These guys stick in the league in other spots.
Yeah, hey, Marcelino's still playing.
He's still playing. I think he's a special teams captain. But Casey Osai is an athlete. I don't know if you can see in that workout, but he is a big-time athlete. 6'1", about 240, 245, but can really move. And it's like in a field, you know, you're looking at a rookie minicamp, you got to know what you're watching, right? Because a lot of those guys just aren't NFL players. But, man, this guy is. He's got an NFL talent for sure. So remember that one, Casey Osai. He worked out. You know, we haven't done the full comprehensive on the draft, but what did you think of their draft and also their undrafted guys? And we were talking about camp battles, and why don't we finish there on that? Cause we're only going to go for another 5 or 6 minutes. But let's take a look at the depth chart real quick and just kind of walk through the depth chart and give me your thoughts, Johnny. Why don't we start right at the top, wide receiver. A lot of wide receivers there. Going to be a really, really intense competition. In the mini camp, I thought Wesley Grimes kind of showed out a little bit. He's athletic. He's fast. He's got good size. How do you see the wide receiver core?
They're not happy with that room. And, I mean, you add Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, Deshaun Stribling, Wesley Grimes, Will Paul. You added five new wide receivers. Like, nobody's safe. Like, Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins.
Yeah, not safe.
They like them. Not safe. You got to figure it out. There is so much depth there. They have overturned that room for the better, and I love probably the biggest dramatic improvement for any position on the team, that wide receiver room with what they put out there in the playoffs versus what it is now. Unbelievable night and day difference. You spent the capital, draft, and salary cap, and, man, it's going to pay dividends.
I really think it's an interesting room. I think the competition is going to be intense. I agree with you. Nothing's open. Evans, Pearsall, and Kirk are going to be here for sure. Stribling as well. Those four guys are going to be there.
Box.
But as far as five and six, it could be DeMarcus Robinson. It could be Jordan Watkins. It could be Cowing. It could be
DeMarcus Robinson is good.
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson is really good.
He might be the best fifth wide receiver in the NFL. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you could trade him. You could trade him. If some of these other guys emerge, you'll be able to get a seventh-round pick at the cutdown, I think, for DeMarcus Robinson. He's too good. Especially in the red. I don't think the Niners used him the way he should be used. He's a red zone guy who's – you know, it's funny. I went up to him in the locker room at the end of the year, and I'm like, hey, man, I haven't talked to you all year. I really appreciate your time. I go, I got to be honest, man. I'm not trying to create waves. I'm not trying to, you know, rock the boat in any way. And I know you're not either, but I go, I don't think the Niners have used you the way that you're ideally set to be used. And he's like, oh, yeah? And I said, yeah. I go, you're awesome on these pick routes and these rub routes on the goal line where you free yourself up. You're a red zone touchdown scoring guy. He's like, yeah. He's like, absolutely. He's like, that's what I do, man. I run those rub routes inside the five. And it's like, that's what he does. And the Niners were so good in the red zone that they didn't even need DeMarcus Robinson, who's great in the red zone. So I almost kind of would like to see him return and be utilized in the red zone, because I think he's high level. I think you could score. I think you can win a Super Bowl with guys like DeMarcus Robinson, because he's that good in the red zone. But I'll tell you, on the guys I'm looking for are Grimes and Pauling and Watkins. I don't know if I believe in Cowing's health, but I'm looking for those three guys who run in the 4.3s to impact this thing. It's like, it's great to talk speed. It's awesome to, you know, put your 90-man camp roster, you know, full of guys with speed. But none of it fucking matters if you cut all these guys and go with the slower guys. So it's like really going to be incumbent on the Niners to pick the right guys here. If they say, you know what, Brant Boyer, we love you, and here's Junior Bergen, then they're fucked. You know, so that guy,
I don't think he has a chance, man. I hope I'm wrong too.
Brant was asked about who's going to be the return guy, and he's like, oh, there's lots of options, and it was like, it just, you could see him having Junior Bergen on the mind. And it's like, bro, stop it. I mean, the guy's not NFL. I mean, it's just not NFL. I realize he was your son's teammate at Montana. Great. Invite him over for dinner, but there's no chance he doesn't get a roster spot. All right, let's talk offensive line. How many linemen do you think they take, John?
You got to keep eight, right? You got to keep eight.
At least
if you keep eight, then you're screwed, because you're cutting a draft pick. At worst, you're cutting a draft pick. So, like, do you keep nine? And again, back to Curtis Rourke. You want to keep three quarterbacks or nine offensive linemen? Because you're not cutting Carver Willis. He's a fourth round pick. Maybe you cut Enrique Cruz, a fifth rounder, but still not likely.
I don't think
I don't think so either.
You're, I think Austin Pleasance is going to get cut.
I believe so too. And they cut him a couple times last year and he stuck around. But man, he's got some good tape. And so you were high on Austin Pleasance all last year, and he shined. Somebody's going to claim him.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I love this, because you remember last year we knew what the 53-man roster was by this point. Like, it was easy. There was no difficult. That's the difference between 2026 and 2025. Like, this is going to be mayhem out there, people fighting for spots, because nobody knows.
So a buddy of mine thinks Robert Jones is going to win the left guard spot, and that he's going to be really good. We'll see about that. Connor Colby, Nick Sakel, Carver Willis.
Connor Colby's making this roster, man. I don't think.
You don't think he's going to make it?
I do think he does.
Oh, you do? Yeah. I think so too.
Gosh, there's too many. I love it.
How about tight end though? I mean, Kittle, I don't want to see Kittle until November. And then I want to see the Niners pick up either Dawson Knox, Cole Kmet, TJ Hockenson. I want a real tight end. I don't like Farrell. I don't like Willis. I don't believe in Rucci. So what do you got? You got Hurt Kittle, you got Tonjes, and you got Dinkins. I think they need a TJ Hockenson. I think they need a significant addition here that speaks loudly to Kittle. Take your time. Do not rush back. The last thing I want to see is George Kittle rush back and have some recurrence of that injury and have changed the arc of his entire career. No, 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 no. Protect the player from himself. Protect the player from their idiot plan, if that's their plan. Go add a real tight end. You didn't do it in the draft. Go get one of these guys that's cut loose on June 1st. And don't even take the pressure off of George to come back. I mean, I think it's awful that we're sitting here in May and they George is still like, I'm going to get back for week one. The hell you are. And it's not that I'm not rooting for it, but I don't want to risk that guy. I mean, don't risk George Kittle. You don't need to win in September is like you're going to need to win late in the year. And go find somebody else. I mean, that's what I want to see him do. And Cole, I'm fine with any of those guys. You want Dawson Knox, you want Cole Kmet, you want Jonnu Smith, you want David Njoku, I don't care. Just don't go with George, and you need more than Tongas, Farrell, and what you got.
It's the lightest room, position room, and it's not close on the entire roster. I would go safety number two, but I was shocked they didn't add a tight end. And then I was, you got Khalil Dinkins in your priority free agent, which I like. But, yeah, this room, it's wanting majorly. And that's even with Kittle back, to be honest with you. I think everybody kind of agrees Luke Farrell's – anytime Kittle was out, Luke Farrell was the worst player on the roster. When he is forced to play next to Kittle, he's a little bit better and you're serviceable. But every time Kittle was out, which was a lot last year, he was the worst. You'd see Brock Purdy go to his first read, wide open, Luke Farrell, and Brock say, "Yup, can't throw it to stone hands," and then take a sack. Because, I just don't understand. And he's making so much money. Surprised he's still on the roster. This is the biggest positional weakness, which there's going to be one in today's NFL with salary cap at what it is. But, yeah, go sign somebody. You got the money.
Yeah. Let's move quickly to the defense. I love the D-line. I mean, look at this. You got four lines there. It's like a hockey team. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, the undrafted guys all look good. Bryson Eason is powerful. James Thompson is really strong and quick. Mikhail Kamara, you can tell, he's a rusher. He's going to be good. He's going to be fine, even though he lacks length and traits and this and that. Who cares? When the game starts, that guy's good. Don't overthink it. The guy had 127 pressures or something like that over a 2-year span. He had a ridiculous number of pressures. He was great in 2024. They used him differently this last year. But Kamara looks great. Thompson, Eason, Height, Grayson Halton, Odighi Zua's been added to this group. You got Cam Sample here. You got guys like Sebastian Valdez who are getting better. CJ West getting better. Alfred Collins, Mikel Williams getting better. Chris Kocurek has a group here that he can come at you in waves. I'm really excited. I still would like to see one more edge rusher in camp, if possible. But just because you're leaning on a Bosa and he's coming off a knee and he's torn it up before. But other than that, man, their defensive tackle depth is off the charts.
They did well. And, I mean, this has been the priority position. They've spent more resources on the D-line than any other position group. It's not close. And this reflects that. The Osa trade, yeah. This is the strength of the team again. And it's what it should be. This is the core philosophy of Shanahan and Lynch. And the roster reflects that in its current state. 100%. D-line is incredible.
Last couple thoughts, and then we'll bolt. Ephesians Prysock, Jalen Stroman are the two names added in the secondary via the draft. Stroman actually is pretty good against the run. Prysock is a big, rangy, tall, young kid with lots of rawness, but he's got a relationship with D'Amador Lenore, and you know, he's got a lot of confidence and a lot of size and a lot of experience too. He played 50 college games. And then you also have Jaden Duggar at linebacker. Give me your thoughts on Prysock, Duggar, Stroman, and what those guys may contribute.
Yeah, they're all lottery picks with upside. Right. And it's kind of fun. None of them have to play now. None of them do. You return the entire cornerback room from last year. You just get to kind of, again, sit and see. Let's figure it out. And if one of them shock and surprise and overtake a role, awesome. But you're not dependent upon any of them for anything. However, the upside is there with all three of those. And, you know, I'm probably much higher on Prysock than I am the other two, but I like it. I like Stroman, but he's more of what you got. He's an in-the-box only guy, not a lot of high-end speed, which is why he was a priority free agent. But I like him, but, like, he's a big nickel at best. That's kind of his role, which the Niners didn't necessarily replace. Maybe Nate Hobbs, Jack Jones could play that role, but the depth is there on the back end. And that is what's key. The 49ers roster was able to accomplish so much last year with rookies playing out of, you know, above their pay grade. Well, now they're returned with those experience, and you've added in another 8-man rookie draft class with a quality free agent draft class, which you didn't have last year. And so overall, the sentiments on this roster is, good gosh, the depth is there finally. Everything probably but the safety and tight end position, but across outside of those two, man, really excited about this roster they put together. Like, I think it's been a great offseason.
If you could add one piece to this puzzle, what piece would that be?
A tight end, David Njoku. If I like, that'd be the call I'd make.
Gotcha. All right. On our way out the door, congratulations. You know, Johnny's a family guy. I'm a family guy. So anytime there's new additions to the family, hey, look at that. Congratulations to Christian. Wait a second.
Oh, there we go.
I guess we'll stop sharing. But yes, congratulations to Christian and his wife for welcoming their second baby. And also we'll hit our supers here quickly. We got Tommy Huxley says another year with fake Brendel. We need center. Okay. We got this one from Mr. Corey Robbins, $99.99. Can't stay. Just wanted to support the channels. Thank you both for the continuous content.
Corey's the best, man.
Corey, you're the man. You're the man. 831 Alex, who's the guy to stash in Dynasty, James or Black? Oh, Black, I think. What do you think, Johnny? Do you like James?
If CMC goes down, I would say James, but yeah, probably Black. Oh, that's rough.
Well, I think, you know, Black is going to give you more touchdowns because even if they go with James, I think they're going with Black on the goal line. So he's going to vulture. But, you know, if you went with James, just get ready for Black to vulture some touchdowns. Jose Cortez says, hey, I'm a YouTube member, damn it.
Respect.
We always give a little clap to our YouTube members. All right, that's going to do it for us. Johnny, what do you got cooking on your Saturday? You've been traveling. You've been doing stuff. You got any?
Yeah, a lot of meetings.
You know, we should remind everybody, tomorrow's Mother's Day. So
that's right.
Today is, you know, you get 24 hours. You know, tomorrow you don't have an idea, and it's like you're a jackass. If today you don't have a good idea, hey, get in line. You know what I mean? So, you go out there and come up with a good idea. And I'm saying this more as an inspiration to myself.
We're taking the wife to see the new Devil Wears Prada movie, me and the kiddo. So that's what she wanted to do. So there we go. That's what we're doing.
Oh, God, I wish I had a wife like that. I mean, I would take me to a movie.
Feel like I'm getting off easy.
Oh, my God. I mean, are you kidding me? Maybe if you see us sitting behind you in the movie theater, you'll know that I stole your idea. Why are we at this movie? Honey, quiet. Hey, John, how are you? Good to see you. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to our sponsors. Shop the sponsors if you want to support the show. Johnny, I'll give you one more chance if you want to promote anything that you have coming up.
Yeah.
Please promote away right here.
Huge Thursday schedule release. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We'll have events for all of the road games this season that we will be attending. We'll be in Kansas City, Dallas, Mexico City, Sydney, Atlanta. Those minimum. But as soon as that comes out, we have a flash sale where you can get tickets to all-inclusive tailgates and day before parties on the road trip for the cheapest prices that they will be available. So when that schedule comes out, go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets for the entire season, your traveling schedule. We'll take care of you guys on the road.
Johnny does an amazing job, guys. Travel with him. He does some incredible stuff. The Niner faithful come out in number, and it is awesome to see them, the support on the road and the players and the coaches. And the Niner players love it, and it's kind of like the one advantage that the Niners have on the rest of the league is this. They travel the best. Johnny's a big part of that. Peace. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of.